this is based on a shiur given by Rav Shem Shem Pinkus. This is a tremendous, tremendous idea that I feel is so important to go through. I heard something like this before, but I never heard this answer. So the question is, why do we make two brachos in the morning on our learning, on our Torah learning? Right. Obviously, technically, there's three. But the first bracha is Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Amim. I'm sorry, Lasuk B'Divrei Sora, right? Asher Kisham Sazvan Lasuk B'Divrei Sora, followed by the Haradna. And the second bracha is Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Amim. Why in the world do you need two brachos? I get the idea, but what's the purpose of the two brachos? For example, on a lulav, although you make a Shechianu, there's no second bracha on your lulav, right? I guess you could say that Hanukkah is similar because you have Sha'asa Nisan that comes afterward, but most Berachos HaMitzvos, you don't have a second bracha on the mitzvah itself. He says the similarity, there could be a comparison made. It would be a comparison to Berachos HaMila, when you have a Bris Mila, which is interesting. There are two brachos that are done on a Bris Mila. One, obviously, Ala Mila, and the second bracha of Lahachniso. Anybody who's been to a Bris knows that the Mohel is the one that makes the Ala Mila, right? And the Aviya Ben makes Lachniso. If the Aviya Ben is the Mohel, if he's the one doing the Bris Mila, then he does both. He says the Ala Mila, he says the Lachniso. So how does that work? What does that mean? What's the two brachos? And why is it that the father makes one but not the other? What is that? So the answer is, and I think you could probably figure this out on your own, the first bracha is a bracha on the Etzem HaMitzvah, on the Etzem HaMitzvah of Bris Mila, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for allowing us to do such a special thing. Just like we say Al Netila Sululav, right? Or we'll go around and we'll say Al Laniach Tfilin. We're making a bracha on the fact that, wow, such a mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you gave me Asher Kedishanu B'mitzvos V'tzivanu, going on to whatever the mitzvah it is. And that's the first idea by anything, and that's done by any mitzvah. But the second bracha that we make by a mila is a little bit different. When you do bris mila, and granted, it's not on you, it's on your child, but when you do that as a father, you're allowing yourselves to have a connection to a Kadosh Baruch Hu in a special way that doesn't exist by any other nation of the world. You are joining a club, so to speak. You're allowing your child to be in that club, but you yourself as a father are in that club. It's exclusive. You're offering your son to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a private little korban that you're doing by giving your son over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by allowing him to be there, your own private little akedah. So yeah, there's the bracha on the mitzvah itself, which is obviously important. That's what we make in every mitzvah. But there's a second bracha. It's that thank you for allowing me to be in the club. There's very few mitzvahs like that, that are club-based mitzvahs. Mila is a big one. Lulav isn't like that. Even tefillin isn't like that, as special as tefillin is, right? That doesn't involve you in a club. But bris mila makes you, so to speak, a certain person. It makes you into a club of Jews that are mulim. Different from, even if a non-Jew has a bris mila, it's different from all of them. This makes a difference. And you can say the same thing by learning Torah. By learning Torah, there's two different parts. One is, we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's a mitzvah of learning Torah. And to that mitzvah of learning Torah, which is so important, the Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, you add on, Baharev no Hashem Elokeinu. As Divrei Rasul Bafinu, you say, the idea of Asher Kedishanu B'Samsonu Lasok B'Divrei Torah, you give me an unbelievable mitzvah that I can be Osik B'Divrei Torah, and you allow me to enjoy it, that I should enjoy it more and more and more as time goes on. That's the first part of the bracha, like any other mitzvah that we have, like tzitzis, like lulav, etc. The second part is a connection that we have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that brings us to a higher level. There's the level of, you have a bris mila, congratulations, you're Jewish, you're part of the club, right? You're all part of the club, and you're a Jewish person, and that's great. But there's another level higher than that, and that is those that get to be able to learn God's word. There's the learning Torah club, which is even greater than that. And the same way that you make a second bracha on a bris mila, l'achniso b'briso shel Avraham Avinu, and get involved in Judaism, we're making a second bracha that's even more so. You have a relationship with your creator. You're not just the creator's son, so to speak. You're the creator's son who he loves speaking to, and he talks with, so to speak. You're an advisor to the king, so to speak. That's the idea of what happens over here. And the truth is, to bring it back, that's what Matan Torah was all about. Matan Torah was, again, we have a schus, we have the mitzvah of learning Torah that is equal to every other mitzvah. There's that mitzvah which is unbelievable. We have the mitzvah not only of Talmud Torah, but also of shaking a lulav and blowing a shofar and reading the Megillah and everything else that you can make a bracha with. That's amazing. And everything that pertains to that idea. I think that all goes together when it comes to that. But we're given something more. Har Sinai was a chance to be a difference maker between us and everyone else. We became, because that's the name of Har Sinai, the hated nation. the one that was different. The one that was different. Now, that doesn't mean it's any different. We don't make anything else, but there is a certain, what is it? A special, unique relationship that we can have if we so choose to accept it. That I don't know if it exists anywhere else. If you can have that anywhere else, we get to, so to speak, rule the world. We get to make decisions and be the ikker behind everything, where I know this sounds a little bit strange, but a decision that I make whether I get up or don't for Shacharis can affect a hurricane in Bangladesh. That doesn't make any sense, but then again, it does. If we're the raison d'etre for everything that happens in the world, then why not? Right? Why shouldn't it be that way? That's the idea. And the truth is, the Torah says it very succinctly, and we say it in Uval Tzion, Chaye Olam, the life of the world, Nota Bisochenu. He planted within us. We make the decisions. You know how scary that is? You say it every day. I guarantee I never thought about it this way until I read it. But Chaye Olam Nota Bisochenu. I know what it means, but to read it every single morning, that we are the reason, we are the pshat behind the world, the point behind everything out there, that everything goes through us, that's amazing. And it's not just a general idea, because right now I'm speaking generally, that there is the, again, the lasso b'divrei Torah, which is the individual mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and then there's the connection that we have that makes us part of a special bris, even more so than a regular bris milah, something special that connects us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's something that goes individually speaking as well. Yes, it's a general idea. Yeah, that applies to Judaism as a whole. But there is a bris for every individual of Klal Yisrael. And that's what we say every single morning, afternoon, and night in Yehi Ratzon Mofanecha, the end of Shemona Esrei, V'sein Chalkeinu B'Sorasecha. Give us our chelek in your Torah. We're not asking as a general rule, let me learn and we'll figure out what to do after that. I'm asking for my chelek. What do I have? Where's my portion that I have when going through? It's huge when it comes to this. Just like by bris milah, with someone, so to speak, just giving your child a bris, you're part of it. Every single person here has their own individual invitation to the special party HaKadosh Baruch Hu is throwing. You have your own special invitation. In the invitation, right, that you're given everything that is yours, mamish, your chelek in Torah, that no one else will get. You have a chelek that if you aren't megala, if you don't reveal it, it won't be revealed. There will be absolutely nothing there. The world loses out an entire chelek of Torah that could have been there. I think that's obvious, but that makes sense why we call it bittul Torah. I want you to think for a second. When you're not doing lulav, is it called bittul lulav? If you don't put on tefillin in the morning, is it called bittul tefillin? No, right? And why? Because even if I'm not putting on tefillin, chas v'shalom, somebody else is, this guy is, or that guy is, somebody else is putting on tefillin. So there's no bittul tefillin. Tefillin still exists. It's just that my mitzvah, I was mevatel a mitzvah. I was about to aim mitzvah of tefillin for myself, and that's what it's called. But there's something called bittul Torah. You know why? Because your chelek in Torah cannot be found by anybody else. If you're mevatel Torah, then your chelek that's supposed to be yours, that you're supposed to have down, is gone. It's not here. No one else can get it, and it will never come back. It's gone forever. That's a crazy way. There is a way. There's no way to be mevatel tzitzis. There's no way to be mevatel tefillin. There's no way to be mevatel shofar or lulav or any of those mitzvahs. But you can be mevatel Torah by not revealing it. That's the scariest thing in the world. And it's up to you to do it or not. That's the point of the word. Rav Pinkus goes on and he says an amazing thing. He says, I want you to think like this. Let's say Reuven's chelek in Torah learning is a certain kasha on a Tosfos, on Kuf Aleph Amud Beis and Psachim. That's his chelek in Torah. I'm not saying his only chelek, but he has a certain chelek that no one else will ever get this question. He is the only one who's going to get this question. It's like a certain question that no one else would ever think of. He is going to think of it. He's going to have it. But Reuven didn't show up to shir that morning. Reuven didn't go to shir. And because he didn't go to shir, he didn't ask that question. A question that nobody else would have thought of, he would have thought of it. So here's the scary part. Shimon, his chelek in Torah, is the answer. Shimon has the answer to that question. But he can't answer it. Why? The question was never asked. So he has an answer sitting there. He has the most brilliant answer. something that encompasses everything that he's been learning up until now. And Shimon's chelek in Torah is the ability to answer it. But he can't give his chelek because Reuven's not there to ask the question. So Shimon's answer right now is hanging in the air and it never comes into fruition. Levi, his chelek, all sitting in the same shear, is a proof to the answer that Shimon was going to give. He had a certain proof that's in his head. He doesn't even know it's there, but it's there. It's all the way back in the recess of his mind, and he has something that's absolutely unbelievable. But again, because Shimon never gave the answer, because Reuven never asked the question, Levi was never able to give the proof. So that's that. And you can go on and on and on. You have an entire building, the entire building that's there, right, in which Reuven never brought out the question. So Shimon was never able to bring out his answer. And there's nothing there. You don't have the building blocks. There's no way to build a building. You can't build up a chelek in learning. There's nothing there. So Reuven didn't just mess over himself. Reuven, by missing that Seder, all it is missing that Seder, right? By missing that Seder, he didn't just mess over himself. He messed over Shimon and Levi and Yehuda and Yisachar and Zvulun and Dan and Naphtali. He messed over the entire world because the world is missing a portion of Torah that is no longer there because no one's there to be able to hear it. It's like that tree that falls in the forest that no one's ever, you can't hear it. That's what it really is. It's a tree that falls in the forest that no one's ever going to hear because there's everything's missing. You're missing everything. You've never looked at a piece of Gemara and you ever look at it, you just see something, you're just like, how is nobody else ever asked this question? Never had that before? Of course you have. You've looked at something, you're like, this is something. So it's either one of two things. Either it's a klutz kasha, you're just, you know, you made a mistake and clearly it's not really a kasha in the first place, and you look at it and you're like, oh, it's rava, oh, bad, right? That's one, right? Or you're really, that is your chelek, and you're never going to have it if you're not there. Can you imagine? As a mushel, going to Manhattan, seeing you're sitting there, I don't know, right in Midtown, let's say, and you have all these 80-story buildings all around you, right? And then there's this one spot where it's just an empty area, right? Like a little field with like weeds growing up in the middle, and all these people standing on the side, and they're just standing there. And you go up to somebody, and you're just like, what's going on here? Why are all those people standing on the side? Why is that an open, like there's a wide open place there. Why isn't anybody building up there? And they tell you, oh, that spot? Oh, let me tell you about that spot. The guy who was in charge of the bricks, he never showed up. So he's missing. So the architect and the builders, right, and all the workers and everybody that's going to be working in that building, they have nowhere to go. So why don't they go to another building? Oh, no, that's their building. They just don't have a building. There's just nowhere for them to be. He's just sitting there without anybody in there. They have nothing to do. They're just sitting around waiting for the guy to show. That's what it is. For these answers, these questions, everything out there. You're missing one, you're basically missing everything. There's a Gemara in Chagigah on Daf Hei Amud Beis that we did not too long ago. That when a person has an ability to learn Torah and doesn't do so, a bas kol cries out from Shemayim. You had a chance and you refused. And it's as if the bas kol is screaming at this guy. And again, it's not heard by us mortals, but it's heard by the great tzaddikim of the generation. How in the world could you allow that to be? How could you allow that to happen? Such a thing should make the heavens cry out. You're not missing out just by missing once. You're not missing out on just one little thing. You're missing out on a building in Manhattan. That's what you're missing out on. Consider it like that. You're missing out on an 80-story building in Manhattan that's making billions of dollars every single day. That's what you're missing out on if you're just missing a little bit. If you don't show up. If your head's not into it. If you're on your phone instead. Think of it that way. It's very, very different when you see, so to speak, you're able to look at the building being missing because I'm not in there. I'm not around. The first bracha is awesome, just like it is by any other, you know, it's that's obvious. And I think it's such a privilege and an opportunity for us to be able to have special mitzvahs. So we can say, Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu, to be able to have a mitzvah that we can take on for ourselves, something like Talmud Torah. But that's true by everything. You got lulav, you got shofar, you got tzitzis, you got tefillin. Torah is sane when it comes to that, but there's something more. And even then, there's like the sweetness of Torah, which adds on to it, which is still an additional bracha. But there's another bracha. There's another added opportunity here. It's something that makes us special. Generally speaking, as Klal Yisrael as a whole, and individually speaking, us as Yechidim in the world of our own chelek. It's the one that we have to think about, that we were chosen for a reason. Asher bachar banu mikol ha'amim is a specific bracha. It is a very, very specific bracha. And we have to remember this. As we're saying it, to remember that, notah b'sochenu, we should make ourselves stand out. We should make ourselves see ourselves and everybody who's learning Torah in a different light, and be the one to bring the bricks for the building. At least bring the bricks for the building. You might not be able to build it on your own, because again, Reuven might still be missing. You're the Shimon, right, who wants to be there, and you just don't have, because Reuven never showed up, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You do what you're supposed to do. Stand with your ishtadlus outside waiting for the building to be built, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do what he has to do. That's what we have to do. That's our chelek. And work on it. Be there and build that building. Make it awesome. Make it something that stands out among all the other skyscrapers. Make it something different. Have a good week, everyone.